welcome once again to another edition of American Exposé. Listeners, it's the 13th of October, Contrail Countathon Day, and I was looking out the door today before I got on my computer. I was looking for contrails or chemtrails. I did see traces of some, but it looks like they were spread earlier today. I remembered that this was the day, the 13th of October, but Dennis put it up on the website as I just opened it today. 26 entries on news and information. Holy mackerel. 65 entries on research. Listeners, 65 directions for research. Here we see Executive Order 13295 of April 4th, 2003, revised list of quarantinable communicable diseases. We're going to have Don Harkins from the Idaho Observer on the first hour today, listeners. Don Harkins from the Idaho Observer. They're a sponsor to the network. Here we see Executive Order 12452, revised list of quarantinable communicable diseases. And then we see Executive Order Amendment to Executive Order 13295, which I just covered, dated April 4, 2003, relating to certain influenza viruses and quarantinable communicable diseases. Now, the point is, we've got to expose... All right. We spent a tremendous amount of time exposing weather modification to the point where other shows are talking about it now. This is the point. I'm fine with the young man covering this information. That's what needs to be done, listeners. Darren's weather modification section in the website is full of information and documentation, including Oklahoma, how weather modification is a reality. Well, now we've got to move into the disease direction. The AIDS. We had Dr. Boyd Graves on yesterday. We were going to have him today. He had to rush off to Louis Farrakhan's Nation of Islam convention to expose the situation to those gentlemen. So now we've got to deal with the bird flu and the creation of diseases, the vaccinations, the setup scenarios with what's being driven today. Because we're being set up on a constant basis. Constant basis, listeners. And this Contrail Countathon Day, come on, people. It's on our website. I haven't found it yet, but there's so much here. And that's the point and the problem, listeners. We have number 32, the swine flu fiasco. Swine Flu Exposé by Eleanor McBean. She has the book, The Drug Story. It's on page 2 of our website. The 1918 Influenza Pandemic. The 1918 Spanish Flu Pandemic. And then we conclude at number 36, or Dennis concludes, not me, Boyd E. Graves, J.D., the man who solved AIDS, who was the guest yesterday. Vital information, listeners. Yesterday's broadcast needs to be spread far and wide. The creation of AIDS, listeners, the AIDS creation, the designer disease called AIDS. You go to the World Health Organization, you understand how AIDS is being promoted all over the globe. And this is the UN picture of the Hegelian dialectic to control mankind, listeners. So the beat goes on. We will get Don Harkins from the Idaho Observer and come up with him and then continue with the broadcast. This is American Exposé. I'm Chris Turner. Stay with us.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Listen to what Cocoon GH has done for another satisfied user.
I've been meaning to let you good people know about my fantastic results after using the Cocoon GH for only a few weeks. Before I started using GH, I had severe pain in my right shoulder, to the point of not being able to take off my shirt. But within the first few days of using GH, I realized the pain was dramatically reduced. I could not believe it. I thought I was bluffing myself. Within another week, I had full use of my shoulder. The pain was nearly all gone. Also, my gray hair is about 75% less now, to my surprise. I have a lot better energy now. I feel like I can do a lot more. I have more will to go on and make life wonderful in my golden years. I started a physical fitness program because I feel so good. I have get up and go like when I was younger. I am really thankful for this product and will continue using it from now on.
Your satisfaction is guaranteed. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
Would you like to have an income regardless of the economic situation, which few trade people have considered? The art of knife sharpening is a skill that will never disappear and will always be in demand. Whether you have a place of business and just want to add to your income, or would like to travel servicing restaurants, barbershops, or a variety of businesses in need of sharpening tools, you're always guaranteed an income with repetitive business. Learn how to become a successful grindsman. It's easy to learn with our portable Grambo sharpening system. Travel anywhere you desire. Purchase the training manual for only $30, and it'll be applied toward your purchase of the Grambo sharpening system. America has become a service-oriented rather than a manufacturing or even high-tech economy. Take advantage of the situation and become a professional grindsman. It's easy to learn. Start on a shoestring with the overwhelming amount of business out there. Now is the best time to start. Call today for more information. You can enjoy the good life. Call now, 512-297-3152. That's 512-297-3152.
To the broadcast as we continue and roll along now, listeners. Keep in mind vital information on our website, and I'm happy to bring up Don Harkins from the Idaho Observer. Welcome, Don.
Hey, thanks, Chris. It's good to be here.
Wonderful. Now, what is going on with you and the Idaho Observer these days?
Well, actually, we just came back with the October edition yesterday, and I'm sure, as you know, it's just like we were discussing a little bit yesterday. You don't just have a radio program. You are your ad agency. You are your shipping and receiving guy. You're everything. And it's no different here. We're at the Idaho Observer. We produce the paper, and then when it comes back, we prep it for the bulk rate mailing and then the first class mailing, and then we get it out and we distribute it throughout the area. And so today we are doing that right as we speak. We're getting it ready to go out into the mail. And it's a much larger mailing than the months previous. It's been increasing every single month for well over the last year. And I think that the RBN ad also, which has been going for several months now, has contributed to that incredibly. So thank you, RBN listeners. And I think also there's fewer and fewer alternative publications still standing out there. And plus, combined with the fact that more and more people are really beginning to see the peril that this nation's in, the Idaho Observer is continuing to grow. We're also growing in knowledge, and all of our readers are coming right along with us. None of us were born with this stuff, Chris, as you know. We continue doing the research, and things keep unfolding around us, and we're all growing up together, and we're all really starting to understand all of the pieces of the puzzle that is destroyed this nation.
You know, it's really amazing. As you see your end growing, I see my end growing on my website, which I have nothing to do. I have no control of my website. I give it to others, and the information is monumental. I'm amazed at how much is there, and I'm sure you feel the same way with your direction.
Well, yeah, no, it's definitely a target-rich environment. I think it's almost sad in a way that you're not taking any credit for your website, because it's magnificent. It's extremely well laid out, and the archived information there is second to none. I'm really impressed.
Well, Darren and Dennis did it. Darren's moved on. Dennis is there. Now we have Vic part of this. And think about 10 years ago, how lacking we were in information and documentation. And we'd have to go to the law libraries. We'd have to search out congressional records and have them mailed to us, different public laws and directions. But the computers made it very opportunistic to spread information. And I think this is the big move and the big push right now that is allowing people to say, hey, we're not buying what's on the television any longer. We're not buying these scenarios. And you know, when we see these chemtrails in the skies and we try to talk to our representatives about these, and they're in denial, total denial, whether they know it or not, as to be a reality, they have to be pretty mind-numb not to think it's a reality if they look in the skies. Although NASA, they cover it up, and now they have we have a contrail countathon today for the young children. So here we are with an age of information, lots of information to be disseminated all over. And Don, I'm just wondering, what's your direction and drive with the information? I mean, do you have contributing writers and things like this on your Idaho Observer at this point in time?
Well, sure. We're hooked up with an international network of extremely forward-thinking and astute individuals. And so the Idaho Observer is, we maybe put it together here, but it's really just a vehicle for the efforts of many, many extremely decent people in the country and throughout the world who... And that's actually kind of the amazing thing that I've really kind of figured out here just lately, is that it's as if God just has all through the history of mankind has been sprinkling people like us all over the planet, kind of evenly dispersing us, hoping that maybe the rank and file will end up realizing that our way of seeing things is productive and should jump on board and become self-reliant and self-responsible with their lives. So far, it's not been catching on exactly like wildfire. But I believe that the direction the country is going now is forcing people to look at things a little bit different way and come more into our line of into our line of thinking.
Yes. Now, what's the main drive right now with information as far as topics? Do you have anything that's pertinent right now that's concerning you and Ingrid?
Well, yes. And Ingrid, of course, is my wife, Ingrid Castle, and she's the director of Vaccination Liberation. An international grassroots network of folks that are really diligently putting forward hard-to-find vaccine information, both historically and contemporarily. So we're extremely, extremely concerned about and interested in informing people the full spectrum of information available on vaccines, particularly because we have this. And I'm telling you, it's an absolute fraud when you get into the nuts and bolts of it, this avian flu epidemic. Avian flu, swine flu, Spanish flu, it's all just this big, huge mass of nonsense. And even the Spanish flu, the death toll from the Spanish flu keeps mounting. It's doubled again since 1999. CDC now reports that it's killed 40 million people in 1918. And I have a video documentary, live broadcast of the CDC preparing for the next influenza pandemic from February of 1999, when they said it was 20 million. So the death toll from the Spanish flu continues to rise. But what we do at the Idaho Observer is the newspaper itself is really geared, it's like graduate level conspiracy, if you will. The people that subscribe to our paper and the people that really appreciate it are people that have been growing in the knowledge alongside of us. But for the average Americans, if they were to pick it up, they'd look at it and not even, it would be like Greek to them. They wouldn't understand it. In fact, it'd probably be more advantageous to get them to understand the information and by rolling it up and hitting them over the head with it. But we also produce these single subject matter publications that are designed for a broad spectrum of knowledge bases to appreciate. The Artificially Sweetened Times is an expose of aspartame. The People's Income Tax Guide decides that wages are not income and proves that through history and congressional record and the debates at the time and newspaper articles at the time of the ratification of the 16th Amendment in 1913. And we just continue putting this material out so that our readers have something that they can hand to friends and family who have heretofore thought they were probably crazy with this information, but this is really good, sound, grade school level information that everybody can appreciate.
Well, that's vital. Vital information. I see from the World Health Organization, avian influenza or bird flu and the significance of its transmissions to humans, once again from the World Health Organization. And what I see here from the WHO, the UN symbol with the leaves on the outside of the globe, and then you've got the sphere with a snake around it. You know, what is the significance of that? I just, you know, come on.
Well, of course, they're really heavily into symbolism, they are, right?
There you go.
But you know, I believe they do that for our benefit because they know that some people are going to get sucked into that stuff, and plus they like rubbing our noses and things. But one of the the main components of this entire modern age of disease, whether it's communicable diseases such as the avian flu or SARS or whatever, or it's chronic illnesses like heart disease and diabetes and cancer, the allopathic model, who I call the purveyors of, or the members of the organized medicine community, these people are always looking as if there's an outside attacker that is making people ill, and they never contemplate the terrain, which would be the host, the bodies, and they also never factor in the most vital component of the whole thing, which is chemicals. This chemical age that we're in, chemicals never go away. They don't break down in biological processes. They're here forever, and they accumulate. And if birds are getting sick, it's not because they have a virus. It's because their bodies are carrying this massive toxic burden because the air that they're flying through and the water that they're resting on is toxic. It's got chemicals in it. And their bodies are bringing that stuff on. And then a microorganism comes in and does what it's supposed to do, turn dead stuff into soil. That's whenever we get sick. It's just a microorganism coming and doing what it does, turn dead stuff into soil. It's not very complicated. But the allopathic model, organized medicine, the CDC, would have us believe that it's a new virus that's mutated and it's killing all these critters, and now it's going to jump into people. And it's absolute medical illogic and complete and total nonsense, and people really, really need to get the basics of how their body works. Okay, we'll come back.
Yeah, Don Harkins is with us from the Idaho Observer listeners, sponsor to the network, and we're going to continue with this avian influenza BS, I suppose you can call it. We'll be back with Don Harkins. Stay with us.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews, as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials, with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions, and there are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Eliminate the cause. Don't just treat the symptoms. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call Alternative Technologies toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. One more time. That's 866-885-6625.
Available from the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Now you have the time to review every spoken word
on any RBN program
by ordering CDs of any broadcast in either standard audio or MP3 format. Audio CDs are just $10 per hour,
$15 for 2 hours,
and $7 when you order 3 or more hours. An entire month of your favorite broadcaster in MP3 format for just $20. So order right, Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. That address again is Republic Broadcasting, 1015 South Mays, Suite 100, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or for more information, call 1-800-724-2719.
And on the web at rbnlive.com.
Order your CDs today because you can handle the truth.
Back with the broadcast, American Exposé, with Don Harkins from the Idaho Observer. Listeners, dated January 15th, 2004, entitled Avian Influenza from the World Health Organization. It says avian influenza is an infectious disease of birds caused by a type A strains of the influenza virus. The disease, which was first identified in Italy more than 100 years ago, occurs worldwide. All birds are thought to be susceptible to infection with avian influenza, though some species are more resistant to infection than others. Infection causes a wide spectrum of symptoms in birds, ranging from mild illness to a highly contagious and rapidly fatal disease resulting in severe epidemics. The latter is known as, quote, highly pathogenic avian influenza, end quote. This form is characterized by sudden onset, severe illness, and rapid death with a mortality that can approach 100%. 15 subtypes of influenza virus are known to infect birds, thus providing an extensive reservoir of influenza viruses potentially circulating in bird populations. To date, all outbreaks of the highly pathogenic form have been caused by influenza A viruses of subtypes H5 and H7. Migratory waterfowl, most notably wild ducks, are the natural reservoir of avian influenza viruses, and these birds are also the most resistant to infection. Domestic poultry, including chickens and turkeys, are particularly susceptible to epidemics of rapidly fatal influenza. Isn't that ironic that it's the the most edible bird that the human population eats, chickens and turkeys, as being reported as the most susceptible to epidemics of rapidly fatal influenza. Don, what are your thoughts about what the World Health Organization is saying here?
Okay, for one thing, what they're doing is they're trying to appeal to everybody's sense of fear or their capacity to become fearful. I'm going to try here to appeal to everybody's sense of logic so that they can see that everything that you just read is really utter nonsense, although they are giving us clues throughout what you just read as to what's really going on. Now, for instance, let's go back to grade school. There will be 30 children in a class, and someone will get the flu, and then six or eight kids will get the flu. And they'll go, oh, my gosh, you know, it's just going around. It's like crazy. And so we get all upset about the six or eight kids that got it. But what about the 22 or 24 kids that did not? What about them? Why didn't they? Wouldn't it make more sense if we were into preventative medicine to spend more time studying what happened to the kids that didn't get sick than really freaking out because of the kids that did? And now, when you just mentioned that the animals most susceptible to avian flu are going to be chickens and turkeys, what we're talking about are chickens and turkeys that are mass-produced and farmed in horrible conditions. They're packed together like sardines or rats or whatever other animal you want to say, and they're filled with antibiotics. They're given medicated chow, and so their whole bodies and their little lives are absolutely stressed. And so when they come in contact with all these chemicals and stress and everything, they get sick, and then they die. And especially they're going to be dying epidemically because they're all kind of treated the same way. And then earlier in that statement that you read, they mentioned that the bird flu varies in its intensity to like a mild sickness that they get over to something where death is 100% predictable. And isn't that the same thing? Let's go back to the grade school classroom. We've got kids that get sick and kids that don't. We have birds that get sick and birds that don't. We have birds that get fatally ill and birds that don't. And what then is the variable? The variable is the host. It's the individual animal and how its body is responding to the world around it. Is it carrying a toxic burden? Is it completely stressed out? Is it living in adverse conditions and situations? I mean, all of these things are a factor, and we're never, ever apprised of these factors. It's this one-size-fits-all. It's a virus. It kills things. Everybody be afraid.
Now, they say here, direct or indirect contact of domestic flocks with wild migratory waterfowl has been implicated as a frequent cause of epidemics. Live bird markets have also played an important role in the spread of epidemics. It also says, recent research has shown that viruses of low pathogenicity can, after circulation for sometimes short periods in a poultry population, migrate into highly pathogenic viruses. It says during a 1983 to 1984 epidemic in the United States of America, the H5N2 virus initially caused low mortality, but within 6 months became highly pathogenic, with a mortality approaching 90%. Control of the outbreak required destruction of more than, get this, 17 million birds at a cost of nearly $65 million. During a 1999-2001 epidemic in Italy, the H7N1 virus, initially of low pathogenicity, mutated within 9 months to a highly pathogenic form. More than 13 million birds died and were destroyed. It goes on, quarantining. This is quite a long dissertation of bird flu, and we'll come back with Don Harkins from the Idaho Observer about this, because then they deal with human infection with avian influenza viruses, and a timeline goes with this. So, listeners, this is on our website. It's the total information on bird flu from the World Health Organization of the United Nations system. We'll be back to continue with Don Harkins. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Why continue to suffer from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions, and there are no side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Eliminate the cause. Don't just treat the symptoms. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call Alternative Technologies toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. One more time. That's 866-885-6625.
When was the last time you used pure soap? I mean real, hard-to-find, all-natural pure soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorant, or antibacterials? Probably never, right? For the past 50 years, the Calbend Soap Company has been making triple-concentrated pure soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now, for the first time, Calbend Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. It's great news because Calbend Pure Soap is made from all-natural ingredients, is earth-friendly, and completely environmentally safe. So if you want yesterday's values today, for good old-fashioned pure soap, call Calbend at 1-800-340-7091.
Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Call today for a Calbend Pure Soap catalog at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091. Or on the web at calbendpuresoap.com.
Try pure soap once, and I guarantee you'll never use anything else.
Would you like to have an income regardless of the economic situation, which few trade people have considered? The art of knife sharpening is a skill that will never disappear and will always be in demand. Whether you have a place of business and just want to add to your income, or would like to travel servicing restaurants, barbershops, or a variety of businesses in need of sharpening tools, you're always guaranteed an income with repetitive business. Learn how to become a successful grindsman. It's easy to learn with our portable Grambo sharpening system. Travel anywhere you desire. Purchase the training manual for only $30, and it'll be applied towards your purchase of the Grambo sharpening system. America has become a service-oriented rather than a manufacturing or even high-tech economy. Take advantage of the situation and become a professional grindsman. It's easy to learn. Start on a shoestring with the overwhelming amount of business out there. Now is the best time to start. Call today for more information. You can enjoy the good life. Call now, 512-297-3152. That's 512-297-3152.
As we went to commercial pause, we're dealing with this global influenza program from the World Health Organization. Don, were you able to obtain anything or retain anything that I covered before we went to commercial pause?
Well, yes, and enough anyway to where I'm always, if I can read a bunch of material and then bring it down and interpret it in a way that I can understand it, then everybody else can understand it too, because I'm not all that really brilliant. I just have this desire to break things down to its common denominators where we can use them here in our own lives and in the lives of our friends and family members. And when it comes to this immunology and virology, and they talk about all of these different viruses and bugs and germs, and they're mutating, and some of them are mutated in labs, and we have antidotes and vaccines that we make in labs, and we splice this thing and that thing and put it in, insert it inside of this sheath and that sheath. It's just, none of that stuff is real to people. It's this disease scare thing. They tell us about all of this because then it really freaks us out, because it's way beyond our control, it's way beyond our ability to understand, and we have to rely on the experts, and it's absolute nonsense. If you want to look around, take a look at how sick the whole world is right now, and this is what the experts have done to us. So I really want all of this stuff out of the realm of experts and into the realms of people, their minds, and their own common sense, because this is where it all lives. This is where it all happens. And we are in more of a driver's seat on being able to withstand these bugs and to minimize their effects than they would have us believe. And again, it comes all the way back to common sense, comes back to the grade school classroom. Why do some kids get sick and why do most of them not? And then we can also take a look at nature. When something dies in nature, what happens? Bacteria come in and they decompose it and turn it into soil. That's what bacteria, viruses, that's what these things do. They take dead material and they turn it into soil. Now, it's really unfortunate if the dead material happens to be inside of our bodies, but inside our bodies, on a tree laying on the ground, it doesn't really matter to these microorganisms. Their job is to turn dead stuff into soil. And the severity of a disease or the symptoms is going to be relative to how much dead material these microorganisms have to feed off of inside your body or outside your body or wherever they happen to be.
Did you refer that many people in this world are sick today?
Yes.
And is that a result of vaccinations?
It's a result of everything.
And chemical air spraying as well?
It is. You know, the chemicals don't decompose in ordinary biological processes, so they accumulate. And they're geez, there was a study recently of cord blood. We're talking about the blood that is contained in the umbilical cord of babies that are newborn. They've been taking this material and using it for stem cell research and stuff. But what they found also is that there's, I forget the exact number, but it's like 156 different chemicals are already in the cord blood. That means that the baby, while it's been developing inside his mother, has had all of these chemicals coursing through its body. And some of these things are really neurodevelopmentally destructive, for one. But the point being that there is no such thing as a pristine American baby being born anymore, because these chemicals are so omnipresent now, because we've been so intensely spraying everything and using chemicals for everything since really about the end of World War II, that it's saturated, and even brand new babies are not beyond being exposed to this stuff before they've even poked outside of their mom.
And that's a result of what the mother's ingesting during that time?
Well, ingesting, breathing, drinking water. I mean,
yes,
you can't
yes.
really get away from it. And these chemicals do accumulate in various locations. There's places where they're accumulating in the Arctic. The prevailing weather patterns move this stuff around, and then they rest in a certain place. It's just like sediment, say, in a river. You know, rivers flow, and they do their thing, and there's little places where pockets of sediment develop or accumulate, and it's the same thing here on the planet, and our bodies are really becoming quite tremendous little chemical accumulators.
Let's take a couple of phone calls here, Don.
Sure.
We have Don in Ohio. Don, welcome to the broadcast, Don.
How you doing?
Fine.
Got two quick thoughts. I've been cooking chicken for a long time, you know, deep fried, stuff like that. And I've noticed that, you know, because I get it at a good place. I mean, they've always had good meat and stuff like that. But I've noticed besides them pumping more water into it, like they do hams to get more weight out of it and stuff like that, it seems like it's been getting more of a, like an oily gloss or a coating to it for the last few months. And I'm just wondering if anybody knows about whether or not they're irradiating it or doing anything, you know, like put it in irradiated oil or something like that. You think they might try that?
Well, I don't actually know. I'm not really an expert on chicken processing, but I do know that you can go to the grocery store and you buy the chicken pieces cut into chunks and wrapped in plastic and put on styrofoam, and that chicken is completely different than a chicken, because I have friends that grow chickens, and occasionally I get one, and they're raised on just the natural stuff, maybe some food scraps and tree fruit and things like that. And it's a completely different animal in every sense of the word. When you cook a chicken. We cut it up, and you see an awful lot, too, when you cut them up. If you get a whole chicken and you cut them up, you can see all sorts of stuff that you wouldn't see if it's already cut up for you, and all you do is just throw it in the oven. And it is completely different. So whatever they're doing to process chickens these days, I believe they're engaging in activities that are not really good for humans that eat them, but it's really great for the mass production.
Okay. If I could, I'd like to switch topics real quick just for a second.
Sure.
Have either one of you guys tried to talk to James Woods about his encounter before 9/11?
James Woods, the actor?
Yeah, about his encounter with the FBI that told him to shut his mouth about the people doing the terrorist drills.
No, I haven't heard a bit about that, but I've always kind of admired some of that guy's work.
Well, you haven't heard that story?
I haven't.
No,
either.
I'm sorry. I sure
okay,
haven't.
Okay, well, before 9/11, he was on a plane, a jet, and he noticed that there was some Arab people on board, and they were, like, going through, you know, a mock drill, you know, and he got off the plane and told the authorities, and the FBI told him to shut his mouth, and, you know, you better never bring it up again.
Hmm.
No, that's news to me.
Yeah,
I would I'm interested maybe in chasing that one down though.
Yeah, you could Google it. I'm sure you know
sure.
still there on it.
He's a fairly outspoken guy, and I think they probably have a lot of fear for him because I think of the entire Hollywood crowd. He's probably the one that has the most brain power.
Okay, hey, well, take it easy.
Thanks
for calling.
Bye.
Very interesting. That 9/11 is anyone that thinks it was the way the major script tells us is kind of lunatic-y in his own thought patterns because there's so much, building number 7, immediately after it happened, that building was purposely imploded, very obvious to me. And then you have the missing plane at the Pentagon, the missing debris, missing damage. And I'm sure you've covered that yourself, Don.
Well, yeah, we put out a publication called the Report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11. We had a lot of really extremely astute 9/11 investigators that contributed to this thing, and it's out of print right now. We sold out, and we're planning on revising. There's just so much more information that's come up since we did that last February.
Mm-hmm.
But what we did was we stayed away from any conspiracy and the going down the rabbit hole stuff and just dealt with the major issues that can absolutely be demonstrated just right in front of your face through witness reports at the time and the evidence that was just there. And it was really effective, I think, in that way. And one of the big components of it was Building 7. And you even have Larry Silverstein, the building's, I don't know, owner, I guess you could call him.
Uh-huh.
I don't think that's quite accurate, but he's the guy in control of the building, and he said that they decided to, quote, pull the building. And I've got a friend here who's an engineer, and he does demolitions, and that's not just something that a couple of firemen decide to up and do. It's quite a process that involves a good 2 or 3 weeks of planning in 3 specific phases.
Oh, yes. Control Demolition Incorporated is been public on the various information channels in the past.
Well, sure. And that was a really funny comment that Eric Hufschmid, one of the 9/11 truth seekers and author of and producer of Painful Questions and Painful Deceptions, he proposed in his book that, boy, if this is the way buildings come down, people ought to just get in the business because it's so simple. You just fly a plane into the 95th floor, and down she comes. and then, for no apparent reason, adjacent buildings come down, too. So if you can figure out that formula, you'll be a millionaire in no time.
Let's go to Linda in Wisconsin. Hello, Linda.
Hi, Chris.
Yes.
I don't know how this fits in with what your guest is talking about, but in Central Time between 1:30 and 2 p.m., there was a story run on MSNBC, and this was a biochemist or a doctor, a man of about 81 years old. He he went to Alaska and dug up a grave of an Indian woman and extracted DNA and tissue from her lungs, sent that to another doctor where they've done the research on the DNA and the Spanish flu. And I was just wondering if your guests knew anything about this. While they were interviewing this doctor, he got very emotional. And according to this story, what I gleaned from it is that he was the one who found the DNA, the tissue, and so on for this Spanish flu. And, you know, they were claiming that he was hoping that there would be a vaccine made for the Spanish flu. Do you know anything about that story or about this biochemist?
Was this just on the news recently?
Yeah, just my time, Central Time, between 1:30 and 2 p.m., and it was run on MSNBC.
Okay, yeah, I'm aware of that. I'm also aware of an expedition that found a couple hundred soldiers that had frozen to death, I believe, up in the North Sea, who also had Spanish flu. We died of the Spanish flu, and they took DNA from those guys. And now, at the time, it was called the Spanish flu. Shortly, I think around the 30s or the 40s, they began to speculate that it was a swine flu. And now, suddenly, the CDC is claiming that it's an avian flu. So it's a story that's ever-changing. And one of the things that we always need to remember is that whenever we get information from the CDC and the CDC says that it tested something and this is the way it is, we have no way to get a second opinion or have independent analysis conducted. It's the beginning and the ending of all information on the subject. So we are absolutely enslaved to their information for our perception of what's going on. And the CDC works hand in glove with the FDA and all those guys, and I simply don't trust them. If most people at this point, I don't think really do. So I believe that anything that they announce has got an agenda that is not specifically prioritizing public health. They've got other things in mind.
That was my feeling, too, and I believe that they were trying to present the story as though this biochemist was trying to do something good, and that was why I was wondering if you knew anything about it. I tried to track it down through e-media, and then they sent me to Track News, and all they told me was is that they could sell me a DVD for $28, but that I would have to get more information to them. And I just thought, wouldn't this be on MSNBC's, you know, if you could get into the computer, you know, and track down that story on MSNBC?
Okay, I'll take it under advisement because it may end up coming up again later as far as something that will prove to be a critical piece in our understanding of what's happening.
Okay.
But ultimately, we know that they found, it doesn't matter whether it was Alaska or the North Sea, they, whoever they are, public health gurus, have found the Spanish flu or whatever this flu was that killed, I don't know, 20 million, 40 million, doesn't really matter, I suppose, how many. The toll just keeps rising based on political expedience. But what we have is a lot of information that's coming down, and it changes with the times. I suppose the main benefit of this story of this man would be to get the details of the story, sit on it, and wait 6 or 8 months and see what the story is in 6 or 8 months, because it's going to change to fit whatever morph the story begins taking on.
Well, I wanted to bring that to your attention.
No, I thank you very much.
And see if we could track it down and find out who this doctor is.
Okay, I may be able to. I've got considerable resources in that area. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, who is an osteopath from Strongsville, Ohio, in the Cleveland area, is really a brilliant woman, and she has also taken the avian flu on as a real study point for her. It's just her. She's really attached her prodigious research capabilities and clinical understanding to this thing. In fact, if you want to look around, go to her website. She probably has more on it. Maybe even some stuff about this doctor, this scientist that you're talking about. She's at osteomed.com, osteomed.com, and it'll probably link to her work in this area, but she's done tremendous research. In fact, she also discovered there was a conference held, it's public information, but it's just not readily available, where they put together a 10-point plan. It's the new game plan for how to really kick into gear flu scare 2005-2006, and it's really something. And that's up at Red Flags Weekly.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Linda, hang on if you wish.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews, as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a 1-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Stay connected to what's happening at the Republic Broadcasting Network by visiting our website,
www.rbnlive.com.
At rbnlive.com, you'll stay up to date with our latest broadcast schedule, learn about upcoming events, read about our air personalities and the programs they host, take part in discussion forums, read the latest breaking news, and listen to RBN programs on your computer by connecting to our live broadcast stream. Plus, you can download previous RBN programs from the archive completely free of charge. That's right. Unlike other services, there is no charge to download programs from the RBN archive. Share them freely with others who are not yet listeners to the Republic Broadcasting Network and help spread the word. We're taking America back through the power of information. Stay connected to the Republic Broadcasting Network and our website, rbnlive.com.
Back with Don Harkins from the Idaho Observer. He will have to leave at the conclusion of this hour. Lindy, do you have a parting shot for Don?
I just wanted to bring up the fact that we don't know who is friend or foe, and that was what I wanted to bring up here. I wasn't accepting the story on its face value, and that was why I wanted to call in to have this story verified. And who is this doctor?
Well, I'll tell you what, it looks like I'm going to be back up on the show next Wednesday. And if you'll be listening at that time, I'll poke around and see what I can find and answer that question specifically. And in the meantime, if you want to go to Sherry's website at osteomed.com or punch into the Google search engine, Sherry Tenpenny, S-H-E-R-R-I, Tenpenny, T-E-N-P-E-N-N-Y, you will really, it'll get you going on a search for avian flu material that will keep you busy until about next Wednesday.
All right.
and she's right on that, friend or foe. In the Idaho Observer a couple years ago, it was discovered, I can't remember exactly what year, but they discovered these depositories of 1918 Spanish flu epidemic, Spanish flu, because of some dead bodies they found that had been held in state through extremely cold temperatures. And they then pulled that stuff out, and they started messing with it in the lab. So I remember reporting at that time, I mean, what does this mean? Another genie out of the bottle, because these guys are the amazing thing about science is that it goes forward. It doesn't matter whether it's good science, bad science, indifferent science. A researcher dies, a scientist dies, somebody picks up his notes and takes it and runs with it. That's just been the scientific process all along, good, bad, or indifferent. And so these guys pick up this virus, and they're always into weaponizing things, and there's little doubt in my mind that one way or another, they're attempting to reduce the population in the world. And also, it seems that this country is going to be more amenable to a declaration of martial law if it is declared for a medical emergency that they can be afraid of rather than some other emergency
there
that doesn't affect them immediately.
There it is.
So that, it's going to be a really incredible political mechanism. President Bush just mentioned that he's going to bring up to Congress, or he's mentioned to Congress that it should consider availing the U.S. military to enforce quarantines in case of a flu epidemic in this country. And that's, martial law by any other name.
Correct. There it is. Linda, I appreciate your call.
Thanks, Linda.
Now, here it is. This is it. This is the point. Whatever it takes to get us under totalitarian control is the maneuver today, and this is why you have your Idaho Observer. This is why I have my broadcast.
That's exactly it. You know, we've got these ministries. All we're attempting to do is to alert our countrymen to its collective peril and make a difference in our lifetime so that we can perhaps avoid a degree or two of the misery that is coming this country's way. And I don't believe that we're going to be able to avoid a cataclysm in this country, but we can, with our efforts, minimize the misery that is going to result.
Don, I look forward to our time together next Wednesday.
Yeah, me too, Chris. It's been good chatting with you again. It's been a little while.
It has, and I apologize.
That's okay. We've both been busy, but we've got a lot to talk about now.
I'll look forward to it.
Okay, Chris. Thanks for having me, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you very much. Don Harkins, listeners from the Idaho Observer. It's a great publication. They're a sponsor to the network. They have a commercial. You can listen to that commercial probably in this hour. Stay with us. We'll be right back to continue with the broadcast. Oh, boy. Avian influenza viruses, a timeline. Stay tuned for that. We'll be right back.
Everyone agrees our children are the future leaders of this great nation. How can we expect the founding values of our great republic to continue with future generations when these same values are being phased out of the government-run school system? There is a solution. The Little Red Schoolhouse Project, a community-based school system founded by Dr. Jake Wade to provide a biblical and constitutionally based education for our children. Help us prepare the next generation in our fight for freedom. Ask us how you can help by writing to Providence Christian Academies, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616, or by calling 512-398-4833. Once again, that is Providence Christian Academies, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616. Support your local Little Red Schoolhouse. Call 512-398-4833 and ask how you can help ensure no student is turned away.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.